If you are new, my name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor, and welcome. We're honored to have you here. And we're in the middle of a series where we're talking about this concept, me in three. Everybody say it with me. Say, me in three. And here's the whole premise. I think a lot of times we come into a new year full of vigor and intensity and urgency, and that's why everybody's back in the gym and we're eating better and all these things that we kind of have in mind when we reach a new year, all the resolutions, the goals, how I'm going to live this year, how I'm going to change. And then we find out oftentimes 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, maybe it's 2 months in, we kind of just lose the fire and nothing really changes. And so what we're trying to do is not just approach this year with some urgency, but consistency. We're trying to say, what would it look like if we don't just think about maybe the next 3 months or this year, but what if we think about the next 3 years? Me in three is this idea. Who am I going to be in 3 years from now? So I'm going to try to think of the kind of person that I want to be, me in three. And here's the inspiration behind it. It's this quote that we often overestimate what we can do in the short term. I think a lot of times we got all these grand plans for our lives, and when they don't happen real fast, we get discouraged and give them up. Because we overestimate what we can do in the short term, but we tend to underestimate what we can do in the long term. A life that is consistent, moving in the right direction, even if it's really slow, will still end up where you want to go. And so this is the idea of me in three. In fact, there's a theme verse that I encouraged all of us. Maybe week one, I said, hey, this would be a great verse to memorize. Maybe that's a new practice for this year, is to memorize a verse. Psalm 90, verse 12. In fact, I'd love for us all to say it out loud together, so they're going to stick it on the screen. In case you don't have it memorized, maybe this will help you. Psalm 90, verse 12. Say it out loud with me. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, God, help me to recognize the gift of time, to count my days. In fact, in that same chapter, it says that most of us, or if we're lucky, we'll get 70, maybe 80 years. If we have that long, God, teach us to number our days so that we are wise. I want to be wise with the time that I have. I think you do too. I want to make the most of this life that I have. I imagine you do as well. And so as we think about a new year and all the things that maybe we want to do over the next 3 years and the changes we want to make, let's be honest, this is where it gets hard. We talk about change, we come up with goals and resolutions, but the hard part's actually doing it, reaching it. And here's the challenge that I feel every new year, is I see this gap of who I am and who I really want to be. You ever see that gap? Like, it could be anything. It could be financial goals. It could be your physical goals. But when I look at my life and I picture myself 3 years from now, do you know what I picture? I picture someone who is strong, who is ripped with less than 10% body fat. It's my dream. Don't make fun of me. I picture someone who is so intelligent because of all the things that he learned over these 3 years. I picture someone that is further ahead in his leadership and goals. I picture someone who's kinder. I picture someone who's more generous. I think all of us, if we're honest, we tend to picture our lives and who we want to be, but we recognize there's a gap between who I am and who I really want to be. And that gap is the change that it takes. The change that is so hard. You know why change is hard? Because you have a lot of things working against you. I want to talk about that today. Because as we talk about me in three, hopefully we're not just thinking about our goals and accomplishments in life and business and family, but I challenged us last week, let's think about who we're called to be. Let's think about God's purpose. Let's think about the significance for which God created us here on earth. And what you need to know is all the things that you want to put in motion and change, you need to recognize that there are universal things that are working against you to change. In fact, there's a universal law that is working against you. It's one that a guy named Galileo, a scientist, kind of really unpacked in his science. And the guy named Sir Isaac Newton, maybe you heard of him. But Sir Isaac Newton, back in the 1600s, eloquently really put math to this. But it's called Newton's first law of motion. I don't know if you're familiar. He's got a couple. There's a few laws that Newton came up with. But the first law of motion is the law of, anybody know? What is it? The law of, someone said it, inertia. The science geeks come out with me today, all right? You're going to like this one. The law of inertia. Now, some of you go, I don't know what that means. I guarantee you do. You've heard this said before. It basically, the law of inertia is this. An object at rest tends to stay at, see, you know that, right? An object at rest tends to stay at rest. That's part of it. The other part of the law of inertia is that an object moving in one direction will continue moving in that exact same direction unless it is acted upon by an external force. Now, all of a sudden, ninth grade science is coming back to you. The law of motion. It's inertia. Inertia is working against you to change. Inertia is why it is so hard to get out of bed every morning when your alarm goes off. Because an object at rest wants to stay at rest. Inertia is why it is so hard to create change in your life. Inertia is why it's so hard to develop a new habit. It's inertia. It's because it's when you are moving in a direction and you recognize, I need to go over there, but I just can't seem to get there. It's because the law of inertia is working against you. Now, let me tell you this. The law of inertia is not just for physics. It's also for your soul. You realize there's universal law working against us for change on the outside. There's also universal law working against you to change on the inside. What's true for physics is also true for your soul, which is why, let me just say this up front, it is so much easier for you and I, for us, to be the same me in three than to become a better me in three. What could really happen is that we could say, oh, these were great messages. What a nice series. And you just go about living your life, and I go about living my life. And 3 years from now, nothing will really change in your life except for the color of your hair and a few more wrinkles around your eyes. That happens by inertia. It just happens. Now, listen, before Galileo began to talk about inertia, and before Isaac Newton defined inertia, you should know way before them, the Apostle Paul articulated what inertia looks like in your soul. In fact, if you got your Bible with you, we're going to look at a few things that Paul said, and I'm going to be in Romans 7 first, and then we're going to jump to Romans 12. We're just going to see, I think Paul understood the power of this law at work inside of him. And then when you look at what he says in Romans 7, I think there's so much that we can identify with, especially when we're trying to change. Here's what he said, verse 19, Paul said this, I want to do what is good. Amen. That's a good thing. But I don't. And he says, I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. What's he saying? Law of inertia. An object moving in the same direction will not change unless acted upon by an external force. I want to do the right thing, but I keep screwing up and I keep doing the wrong thing. Right? This is Paul's recognizing this. Verse 20, but if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. I'm not doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. So Paul is starting to help us understand about an internal force at work against change. Look at verse 21. He says, I have discovered this principle of life. Before Newton is discovering it and putting math to it, Paul says, I actually already discovered this universal principle for life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can you anybody identify with that? Yeah? It's like, when I want to eat right, I end up going to Wendy's. Hello? I was trying to make this real, okay? Look at verse 22. He says, I love God's law with all my heart. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to do the right thing. I know, I imagine most, if not all of us here today, that would be our prayer. I want to do the right thing. I really do. I want to honor God. I want to live my life the way he wants me to. But verse 23 says this, But there is another what? Say it out loud. There's another. Say it again. Come on. There's another. Come on. I need 10:45 to wake up today. I got way too much energy for you all about power. But there is another what?
Power
within me that is at war with my what?
Mind.
By the way, the Greek word power there is the exact same word that's translated law. We learned about the law of inertia. Now we're learning about another law. It's just like inertia. It's just on the inside. This power, he said, makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I want to move in the right direction. I think that's how most of us feel. I want to do what's right. I want to honor God. I really do love God's ways, his law. I want to do the right thing, but every time I set my mind to do it, I end up doing the wrong thing. So frustrating, I feel trapped. Listen, if any of you know what that feels like, and can I just say I do, and I imagine we all do, Paul is talking about another law, not just the law of inertia that's working against us, but the law of your sinful nature. You know what your sinful nature is? It's the part of you that can't help but do the wrong thing. Do you know, whenever you hear nature, and Scripture talks about a sinful nature, it's talking about how you were made. It says all of us are born with this natural bent to do the wrong thing, even though we often want to do the right thing. And that's what creates the struggle. And he goes, there's like a battle going on in my mind. This is the way we all feel when we go, I need to change. I need to get better at this. I need to stop doing this. I need to break this habit. I need to start doing this. We need to be better with our finances. We need to eat better. We need to, it's because there's something inside of us that always tends to move to the wrong thing. And listen, not only do you deal with the law of inertia that makes it hard to change, you also deal with the law of sin in you that makes it hard to change. And to add to all of that, there are spiritual forces around us that are also trying to keep us from changing to be more like God. Can I just say, this is why change is so hard. This is why, according to Newton, we might need an external force to help change. And by the way, can I just say, I think that's why fasting is so powerful. Because you know what fasting is? Fasting is when you are inviting an external force. I'm talking about God, his spirit, his presence. You are inviting him into your life. Things change. Whenever you starve what is natural to you, when you starve your flesh, when you starve your nature, your human nature, when you starve and you say, God, I'm going to go after you and pray, and I'm going to seek you, what happens is you have an external force that comes to help you begin to change. And so I want to talk about the power of that change. Now, Paul struggles in Romans 7. He's like, I'm just telling you, I'm dealing with this constant struggle. Then you get to Romans 12, and I think Paul drops a key to how we can change. In fact, if you got your Bible, I want to flip over to Romans 12 real quick. Just flip over a page or two in your Bible. Romans 12, verse 2. Here's what he says. This is such a powerful verse. Romans 12, 2 and 3. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a what? Say it with me. Into a new person by changing the way you what? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If we want to discover God's plan, if you want to discover God's purpose in your life, we talked about this last week. If you want to learn to step into God's call on your life, the significance for which he created you, here's what Paul's saying. You're going to need to address your patterns. I want to talk about patterns. Why? Because the Apostle Paul talked about patterns in this passage. I memorized this passage a long time ago, and I did in the NIV. That was NLT I was reading from. Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Maybe if you know it in the NIV, It says, do not conform any longer to the what? To the patterns of this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That there are patterns in this world. Now, what's a pattern? Real simple. A pattern is a repeated design. A pattern is something that you take and you like it, so you repeat it, right? It's a repeating a design. Do you realize that so much of what God created in our world is patterns? Like there are patterns, there's weather patterns, geological patterns, there's so many different patterns. God created everything according to a pattern. In fact, you find this all throughout Scripture when God gave them the tabernacle to build, when given the temple, it was built as a pattern after what's in heaven. I think so much of what we have in creation is actually designed based on a pattern. You can see it in Genesis 1. In fact, there's a pattern to Genesis 1. When you go through and it says every day that God created something beautiful, it says at the end of each section, it says God created and it was good. And everything that God made that was good, he intended for it to repeat. There's a pattern to it. That's why when God created life, he created it all to repeat itself. He created every seed-bearing plant and tree. God looked down and goes, ooh, that oak tree, that's all maple trees. I love those. Weeping willows, I love those. I want them to repeat. And so he created patterns. The same thing's true with animals. The same thing is true with you and me. Do you realize this? That you and I are a pattern of our parents. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not so good, right? Hello? You're a pattern of your parents. Your mom and your dad, the DNA that they had was what was used to create you. That's why so many of us will recognize patterns in ourselves that we saw in them. Some of you go, oh, that's where I got my nose from, my mom. Some of you, that's where you got your hair color from. That's what you got your body shape from. That's what you got your high cholesterol from. That's what, might not be the only thing, but it might have helped with it. High blood pressure, right? That's where I've got, there's a pattern to us that is designed by nature. You are a little version of them. In fact, I don't know if you ever noticed this. There are some times where I'll catch myself like either sitting a certain way or standing a certain way or saying something, and all of a sudden I have a flashback of seeing my dad like that or my mom like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I became them. You ever seen that? You ever done that? Oh man, my wife reminds me of this. Every time I get sick, respiratory sickness, drainage is terrible with me. It's just bad, and I'll have to like clear my throat all the time. And my wife sometimes will just, I won't even notice it because I'm doing it. And she'll be like, you sound just like your dad right now. Because my dad has the same problem. Like, there are so many things that are designed into us that is a pattern that, listen, most of us, we had no control over. Right? There are some things that you just have to understand you're fighting a pattern. That's why when you go to the doctor's office, they give you this ridiculous form, and they want you to write down the medical history of not just your parents, but your grandparents. Did they have cancer? Did they have this? Why? Because there are things we've discovered that are passed down through patterns to the next generation that we don't even realize, but we just fall into. It's a pattern. There's some good patterns you've gotten from your parents. There's some not so good patterns, right? Male pattern baldness, not so great. It gets passed down. That's why you can have every intention of being the greatest dad, the most caring father, the most loving person. You can have every intention in the world, but for some reason you don't understand why, but at a moment's notice you just blow a lid and your anger comes out and it's awful. And you say, where did that come from? And you try to stop it, but you're not sure how to do it, and you don't realize that you're fighting a pattern. Some patterns we experience because it's an expression of design. Other patterns we experience because they're a part of our development. In other words, some patterns were just given to you as like nature. But there are other patterns that many of us have experienced, developed, that have come about because of the environment we were raised in. We were developed by patterns. You know, when you're a baby, the way you learn to talk, the way you learn to walk, everything is done by patterns. You see someone, you watch them, you hear them, you repeat what they do. That's how you learn a language. That's how you learn things. And there are also all kinds of other patterns, to be quite honest, many of us have picked up because of how we were raised, what was always said to us, what was always said about us, what we saw our parents fighting all the time. And then you can realize when you get into your marriage that there's a struggle and you never even caught the fact that you end up fighting just like your mom did. Because we are affected by patterns. Patterns affect us for design, but also in development, nature and nurture. And here's the thing, Paul is talking about patterns. He's talking about how do we change, how are we transformed, how are we changed in this. And he says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Don't just land in the patterns of this world. And one of the things I think he's pointing out is that patterns are powerful, but I also think he's speaking to this other truth, and that is that you can have power over your patterns. I don't want to be a victim of the patterns I grew up with, right? Like, I understand. There might be some serious counseling. There might be some things I got to work through. But it is not enough for us just to allow the patterns around us define us. In fact, let me give you this thought because this is so true. Either we define our patterns or other people's patterns define us. Some of you should write that down. You need to think about that this week. Either we define our patterns or other people's patterns will define us. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world because you will never be transformed if you are continually modeling the patterns of this world. You can have power over them, but listen, you are either defined by them or you have power and choose to define your patterns. When I think about the world and its patterns, I took a moment and I thought, okay, what does it look like for us to follow the patterns of this world? Because I think they're more deceptive than we think. It's so easy to pursue the pattern of success and the pattern of what the world says will bring happiness, but listen to me, you follow that pattern long enough, it won't lead you to happiness. And I was thinking about some of the patterns of this world, and I wrote down several of them, and I want to just, here's a few. Tell me if you've ever heard these. Some of you have said these. These are things that social media influencers love to say, these phrases. Watch out. In fact, I would encourage you, be careful of any social media influencer. Don't think it's a good pattern, because you're only seeing a part of their life. You're not seeing the real part of them. What are some patterns in this world? Here's one. You might hear someone say this, live for yourself. Live for you. Can I just tell you, that's actually not a great pattern. That's the way the world thinks, live for you. If Jesus were to come along, because Jesus did, and he would say things like this, no, how about this, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow after me. That's a pattern of someone who wants to move toward Christ. Not live for yourself, I'm gonna live for him. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a different pattern, okay? Here's another one, follow your heart. People say that today, follow your heart. Can I just tell you, if Jesus were here, he would say, don't follow your heart. That's really bad advice, because Jesus also said that it's out of the heart what flows every evil thing that's in us. That the heart is deceitful above all else. Do not follow your heart. That's bad advice. You know what? That's a pattern of this world. Some of you are going to recognize these because you've like, just like, oh yes, sister, that's so great. Oh yeah, you're commenting back, man, this is me. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to live my truth. Live your truth. That's an awful statement. That's a terrible pattern. Don't live your truth. It's kind of like, well, whatever's true for you is true for you. It's true for me, and don't you come and tell me what's true and what's not true. Listen, there's only one truth in this world, and it's reality. And if Jesus were to come along, which he did, you know what Jesus said in regards? He said this, if you follow my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a lot of people who are living their truth, but they're locked up in this world. Don't live your truth. Jesus is the truth. Here's another one. Do what feels good. I think Jesus would say, do what honors God. Don't just do what feels good. Why? Because you have a pattern inside of you that is a sinful nature. And if you do what feels good, you will follow that pattern right to the grave. There's a way in which the scripture says there's a way which seems right to a man, but it leads to destruction. No. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Don't do what feels good. Do what honors God. Here's another one. Getting more is better. That's the message, especially here in America. If you can just have more, make more, own more, buy more, you will then be happy. Jesus came along. Jesus said, no. It's not better to get more. He said, it's more blessed to give more. He said, blessed are those who give. It's better to give than it is to receive. It's not just about getting, but we will miss the goal, understanding what it means to give and the joy that comes from that. No, the world is full of patterns that are awful, and they don't actually move you toward your purpose. The world will say, you deserve the best. The reality is that you and I deserve death. Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the truth is that we all deserve death, but if we understand the mercy and the love of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, we will understand I don't deserve what I get from God. You can't even understand the grace of Jesus if you don't understand that. See, these are things that the world will tell you to pattern your life after. And listen to me, you can pattern your life after this, and it will define your destiny, but it will not move you towards your purpose. I don't want to go another 3 years without moving toward my purpose. I don't know about you. I want to move in a direction that is the direction that God has for my life. But can I just tell you this reality about that? It's this thought. We don't actually move toward our purpose. We move toward our patterns. You don't move toward your purpose. You move toward your patterns. So this is where we all get messed up. Because like, oh, just one day. One day I'm gonna be super generous, and I'm gonna be super kind, and I'm gonna be super loving, and I'm gonna be super forgiving, and I'm gonna be super this, and one day I'm just gonna be, and we've got this picture in our mind of who we're gonna be. One day I'm gonna be this. But let me just tell you, this is a reality. You will not move toward your purpose. You always move toward your patterns. Whatever your pattern is, that's what direction your life is moving. And so the question that we have really before us today is, how do we change the pattern? And I think most of the time, if you're thinking about things that maybe you want to change, maybe you're thinking about some habits you need to break, maybe you're thinking about some things in your life that like aren't helpful, things that are just causing you to move in a worse direction, how do I break the pattern? Most of us, can I say, spend so much mental energy trying to think about what we need to stop doing that we never think about what we should start doing instead. You could think all day long, I'm going to stop smoking. And guess what? The law of inertia says that about 5 p.m. when you are irritable, you're going to grab a cigarette and you're going to start smoking. Right? Because we're thinking about what we need to stop doing. You know what the fast has really helped remind me? I think I need a fast like this to begin the year. I know it's hard. Sometimes I don't want to do it when we get to the new year. But every year we're like, no, this is a rhythm. This is a discipline. We need this in our life. Is that something this fast has reminded me of, and that is the power of leaning into something new rather than obsessing over what I really want. Let me give you an example. I have a massive sweet tooth. Does anybody here have a sweet tooth? Raise your hand if you can. Okay, oh wow, almost everybody at 10:45. Yeah, basically because in America, we're addicted to sugar. Let's be honest, right? And I'm just one of those massive sweet tooth, love sweets. I want it every day, all day. I'm the kind of person that could skip dinner, go straight to dessert. If there's any room left over, maybe we eat dinner. Okay, I love sweets, and so one of the things that every year, I have a variety of things, but one of the things I always put in my fast is sweets and sugar. I go, you know what? I'm not going to eat them. I'm going to discipline myself. Why? Because I've found that a lot of times I can go to sugar to really medicate that I'm stressed. Because I need it every day. At the end of the day, I need something. I'm craving something. And the whole idea of a fast is that you are actually denying what your flesh really craves. And can I just tell you, it's so hard when you're thinking every day, oh, I just want a Snickers bar. Oh, I just want a Snickers bar. I just want to. And so you know what I decided to do this year? This year, I decided to be intentional about adding some healthy sweets into my diet. When I say healthy sweets, I mean the stuff that God created naturally. By the way, I do think that God intends for us to appreciate and to experience a sweet life. I think the reason why God created pineapple and God created mangoes and God created apples and God created things with natural things with sugar in it is because God wants us to enjoy life. And so one of the things I've been making myself do is that I started every day, I was like, I'm craving. I was like, I'm going to eat an apple. I never eat apples. It's dumb. It's a waste of calories. Give me a Twinkie or something. You know, I'd rather eat a donut any day of the week. But they say you are what you eat. And so almost every day I've been eating an apple. And you know what I found? I really like apples. Like, I think I keep eating apples. I really like apples. And you know what's really helped? Is instead of obsessing about what I can't have, what I can't do, when I started to appreciate and enjoy the things that maybe God's given me for life, all of a sudden I find myself breaking a habit by replacing it with a better one. You can apply that however you want in your life. There are things that I think we think, well, following God, there's all these, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. If that's the way you view it, you are going to be miserable. But if instead of you realize that what God has for you, his plan for your life is better, that when you begin to move toward it, that you all of a sudden feel free and you can experience the joy that God intended for your life, not some fake thing that the world offers, you will find something new in your life. It's life-changing. So you say, how do I get a new pattern? I'm going to help you. We're going to get real practical for the end of this. How do I get a new pattern? Well, let me tell you this truth. What you practice becomes your pattern. Hello? Are you following me? What you practice becomes your pattern. That's the truth. Let's talk about practice. We're talking about practice, man. Why are we talking about practice? Okay, if you didn't get that Allen Iverson throwback quote, that's fine. Here's the thing. You may not realize this, but God designed you with a mechanism that will naturally wire your brain and body to repeat a pattern. You're designed that way. That's why you can get so addicted. It's because every time there's a dopamine hit, it could be when you drink something, when you take something, when you smoke something, when you watch something. Whenever you do that and there's a dopamine hit, your brain goes, ooh, I like that. And it starts to work. And it creates, God created us this way. And there's a purpose for it. He created us with a mechanism that when something feels good, we tend to repeat that, and your brain then creates a neural network. It literally shapes your brain. The neurons, the cells, they form to that pattern so that you do it again and again. This is something God created us for, okay? So when you practice something over and over again, it becomes a habit. It's the pattern. And listen, we always move toward our patterns. This is what, so you say, how are we gonna change the pattern? We're gonna do it with a new practice. Here's what you need to know. If you take that same mechanism that God created you, that maybe has created some really unhealthy habits in your life, you can turn it around and use it to create new patterns that will lead you to life. You just gotta use it, and we gotta talk about practice. You probably heard that phrase before. Practice makes perfect. You ever heard that one? Practice makes perfect. You know what they say today? They say that's wrong. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Practice makes permanent. It doesn't make perfect. It makes you can practice free throws. Shaquille O'Neal could practice free throws all day, every day, and he would get no better at it. He would just ingrain his awful free throw technique. Right? They say perfect practice makes perfect. It's because practice makes permanent. When I was in ninth grade, I had this basketball coach. I still remember him, Coach Haynes. He was the worst and the best coach I'd ever had. And he was the best because he got the best out of you, but he was the worst because he made your life miserable. I don't know if any of you ever had a coach in sports that made your life miserable. And his practices were legendary and grueling, and we would run suicides. We'd start with suicides. We'd end with suicides. That's a drill, by the way. That sounds really awful if you don't know what it is, but it's a running drill. We'd make us run laps around the gym. He'd make us work out, do push-ups, and we had to do so many push-ups in under a minute. We'd have to do so many. We had to do like 50 push-ups in a minute, 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups in a minute. Like he'd make, I mean, it was so brutal. People would throw up. It was awful. Worst practice ever. But you know what he believed? And it's true. He said, how you practice determines how you play the game. Well, guess what? Whatever you practice in your life actually becomes a pattern that you follow, and it leads you to your destiny. But it may not lead you to your purpose, especially if you have the wrong pattern. So I want to talk about how do I create a better pattern? Here's a clue. Start a new practice. How do I create a better pattern? Start a new practice. Okay, last few minutes we have. I'm going to make this part really practical. I want to give you what I think are new practices for a new pattern. New practices for a new pattern. I'm going to give you a few. You can write some of these down. Some of you may do these. I know our context tends to be spiritual, but you could apply the same logic to almost any area of your life, business, family, whatever. And some of you, that's what you need to think about for the next 3 years. What are new practices that can give you a new pattern? Because here's what Paul said. He said, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but be transformed, changed into a new person by allowing God to change the way you think. Let me give you a few of them. The first one is this: meditate on Scripture daily. Meditate on Scripture daily. Can I just say this? It's not enough. There's not enough for you to think about and meditate on just what we do here for an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, it's helpful. But can I just tell you, every day your thought life is bombarded with influences and forces all around you and the sinful nature within you. You need something more than that. And I just wonder if some of you, maybe you don't have a habit, a practice of reading the Bible as much as you can during the week. Can I just tell you, you might go, I don't know, I hear Pastor Tate say this all the time, but you got to understand, I tried it once and nothing happened. It's not the way it works. Okay? You don't develop a new pattern by trying something once. You develop a new pattern by practicing it over and over again. I think we sometimes overestimate what can happen the one time we read the Bible. Well, Pastor, I got the Bible, I read it this one time because you said to do it, and nothing happened and I didn't understand it. I get it. It happens to me sometimes. But I have developed a habit of doing it every day. Can I just tell you, when I look back on my life, I think this is one of the key things that has transformed the way I think. Because I have given my mind something better to pattern my life after. I love what Philippians 4 says in verse 8. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When you fix your thoughts on something of greater value than what this world has to offer, it will begin to change your life. So if you just read one chapter a day for the next 3 years, you'd read through the entire Bible. Some of you read three or four like I do every day, and you read through the Bible in a year. I've been doing that for years and years and years. And let me just tell you, it has done more to change who I am than anything else. And I go, does it really work? Try it for 3 years and see. okay? Meditate on scripture daily. Let me give you another one. Maybe some of you, to break a habit, you need to develop a mantra. Oh, that sounds weird. Develop a mantra. What's a mantra? It's just a phrase that you say to yourself over and over again. It's something, it's a truth that you speak it to yourself over and over. Can I just tell you why this might be important for some of you? Some of you have a pattern of thinking about yourself that was developed by the environment you grew up in. You always had somebody in your life that said, you're not gonna amount to anything. You had people that told you you're gonna fail over and over. You had people in your life that didn't believe in you. And all of a sudden, that has become the mantra for your life. If you want a new pattern, start a new practice. Can I encourage you? Here's what I would say, though. If you're going to give yourself a mantra, why don't you base it out of the truth of God's word? So maybe a mantra could be a verse like Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What if that's your mantra? I just don't feel like I'm going to make it. Or maybe you've spent years and years fighting depression and feeling miserable, and you wake up, you feel tired. Listen, this mental health is a real thing. Here's just a real simple mantra. Maybe you could just get up every day and you say, today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it and be glad. I don't know what today has, but I'm going to pre-decide at the beginning that it is a day that God has given me. He's given me more time today, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in today. I don't know what it needs, but here's what I would say. If you've got a pattern in your life that you need to break, why don't you take scripture and use it as a mantra, and every day you just quote that verse to yourself. Every day, whatever it could be, he is my great strength, my shield, my reward. Every place I set my foot, God is with me. He has given it to me. Joshua 1. There are so many mantras you could pull out of scripture and you could say, this is going to define who I'm going to be in 3 years. So maybe you develop a mantra in your life. Here's another one, simple one. You can do it. You're already doing it right now, but show up every Sunday. Just show up. Well, I don't feel like it. It's really cold out, and I think it snowed this week, and I don't know. Can we stop with excuses? Show up every Sunday. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here. But you know, I also know there's a lot of us that approach a new year just like we go to the gym with all the intensity and urgency of the world. And 3 weeks in, we're like, I'm tired this Sunday. You know what'll change your health? Showing up at the gym every day when you don't feel like it. You know what'll change your life spiritually, lead you to your purpose? It'll help. Show up every Sunday. If you don't feel like it, show up anyways. Make it a priority. Maybe this year, you're going to go, you know what, this year we've got a couple trips planned, but if I'm in town, I'm going to be here. My family's going to be here. I'm going to create a pattern for my kids. I'm going to train them in the way of the Lord so when they go old, they won't depart from it. So parents, you have to establish the pattern if you want to see your kids repeat it someday. Show up on Sunday. Every Sunday. So you know what? It's a priority. I'm going to be in the house of God, worshiping with other people, in the presence of God, allowing God's word to speak to me every Sunday. Here's another one. Get in a circle. Do you know what's the hardest about change? Is not having anybody to help you. If we could do it, we would. But there's power in community. There's power in having a small group, a circle around you. And we happen to be launching our new season of circles today. This would be a perfect time for you to say, you know what, I need some people in my life. And when you get somebody in your life and you have community in your life and you want to change some things, can I just encourage you? Let them know what you want to change for accountability purposes and then ask them to help you. Ask them to walk through it with you. There's a power that comes in doing this. It's hard to change on your own. And then let me give you the last one that I'm going to give you today. It's just a real simple one. It might sound a little bit weird, but just stick with me. Write this one down. Take a cold shower. Take a cold shower. Yeah, I said it right. Take a cold shower. I heard this leadership guru, this was several years ago. I think his name was Colin. And I heard him say this. And he said, take a cold shower. I was like, I don't want to take a cold shower, especially in the winter. That's awful. Who would ever do that? But his point wasn't really about the shower. That was a practice. His point was this. He said, do something hard today. Change is hard. And the reason why a lot of us never experience change is because we won't do something hard. And so he said, take a cold shower in the morning. You want to start your day off knowing I can do hard things. And I was thinking about this message, and I was like, I love that point. It's so practical. I'm just going to give it to him. Take a cold shower. And this morning, I was in the shower, and it was really warm, and it was toasty, and I'm thinking about my message, and I went, oh, crap. So guess what I did? Ooh, I flipped that thing over to cold. Let me just tell you, I did not waste any time this morning. I had the most efficient shower of my life. Teach me to number my minutes in the shower that I may gain a heart of wisdom. I got in and out, washing my face and my hair, and the water was cold. But you know what? I got out, I was invigorated, and you know what I thought? I did that. I did something hard today. Maybe we woke up every day and said, I'm going to do something hard today. Now, it may be take a cold shower, or it could be you need to forgive somebody that hurt you, and you've been holding on to the grudge for 10 years. What is it that you need to do that's hard? Maybe you need to cut up your credit card because you keep going further and further into debt this year. What do you need to do? I'm just saying, use that as a metaphor for something deeper. Do something that's hard. Maybe you need to change the way you're eating. Maybe you need to change your family life and schedule because you can't remember the last time you sat down with your family and had a meal around the table. I don't know what it is, but can I encourage you to do something hard? What I'm trying to say is this: you will not move in the direction of your potential. You will move in the direction of your pattern. And if you want to create a new pattern, you got to start a new practice. Now, on your way in today, you were given something. If you want to grab it real quick, you were maybe given an envelope or maybe a sheet of paper with an envelope. And you can get it out for just a moment. I want to tell you what it is because I'm going to invite you to do something. This idea, I've seen it done a couple times, but it was really kind of unique as I thought about it because it reminded me something my daughters did, something that they do at the school where they were. My youngest daughter, she graduated this last June, and right as she was graduating, they gave her a letter that she wrote to herself when she was in sixth grade. I thought, that's a great idea. And so when you're in sixth grade, they have you pause and write a letter to yourself when you graduate. All the things that you think your life will be, hope your life will be. And I told her I'm not going to read it. It's kind of cute and kind of fun. And, you know, the things that she thought maybe she would do over the 4 years in high school and who she'd be and what she'd be accomplishing. And I thought, man, there is a power in doing something like that. You know, sometimes putting something down on paper. So here's what we have. This is what we're going to do. We gave you this letter in an envelope. And it says 2 and 3 years. And that's going to be to yourself. And here's what I want to invite you to do. You don't have to do it, but if you want to see your life maybe move in a different direction over 3 years, write yourself a letter of the things that you hope to see, the practices that you're going to start. Maybe it's like, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through by 2027. Maybe 3 times through. Maybe it's like, I'm going to go to church 45 times a year. So add that up or whatever, 135. I'm going to go to church 135 times between now and 2027. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're going to put on there, you can put on some business goals and family goals and aspirations, but don't forget your calling, who you are, who you want to be. I want to be more generous. I'm going to give a tithe. I'm going to do this. I don't know what it is, but I want to encourage you, for accountability's sake, write a letter to yourself this week. And bring it back next week, and you self-address the envelope with your address. And if you think you might move, put an address of somebody that will get it, that can get it to you. And we will get these and keep these for 3 years and mail them back to you in 2027. I'll tell you what, there's some accountability that you are creating for yourself. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to go through them. You can seal it up. I don't care. This is from you to the new you in 2027, because I'm going to be different. In 3 years, I might look older, but I'm gonna be wiser. And I'm gonna be closer to Jesus because I'm gonna create new practices to become a new person. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this challenging word. God, I know that, Lord, it's hard to change, and we need your help. Lord, we call upon the external force against the law of inertia and the law of the sinful nature. In other words, we call upon your spirit, God, to breathe change into our lives. God, I pray maybe those that are here right now watching this, they're thinking of patterns in their life they want to break, addictions that they want to break from, things that God, the new things that you're going to lead them in. I pray, Lord, as we go this week and as we think about new practices that we're going to begin for new patterns, I just pray, God, that you would give us the strength, the power, the courage to step in and to do the hard things and to lean in, because we know, God, that your grace is with us, that you're going to help us do these things. God, we thank you for challenging us with this word. I pray that we would know what to do with it and we would step into it this week. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. It's in his name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's thank God for his word today. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.